Okay, Parashat Bereishis, 5-7-6-4. Tuck Sayyid Islam Al-Shalat.
Okay. We're gonna study the story of Cain and Hevel. A little bit of Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel, if you want to talk about what original sin is, okay? What was the first sin? No. It's a dot. That's the tree of life, right? The tree of knowledge. That was the first sin. But real first sin, that was the first sin, Beinaram Lamakam. What's the first sin, Beinaram Lachavero, between man and his fellow man? Cain and Hevel. And if you had to pick a sin, you know, to choose what's the first sin going to be, you might as well get your money's worth. Okay? So we're just going to learn Chumash and Rashi today. Says the Torah. That's page 18. You know, it's so interesting. I never have the opportunity to do Bereishis, because usually, you know, Simchas Torah ends on a Wednesday, and then, you know, by the time Shabbos comes around, you're just kind of breathing, and you finally, you know, you get yourself together. Ah, Mrs. Rover, Salam Aleichem. Okay. Just sit right here. I'll move down. Okay. Welcome back, Mrs. Rover. Good to see you. Okay. So we're on page 18. I'm skipping Adam and Chava. We're skipping the apple. It wasn't an apple. If anybody went to my wife's class last night?
Oh, yeah, we know all about it. I said it was a lemon.
Rina says she loved your answer. She thought it was so interesting.
I always said that.
The Torah also says, the Chazal says that a rimon has, I said, 613 seeds, connected to 613 mitzvot. So maybe the rimon somehow symbolizes the Torah. Mm-hmm. And that the eight hadat might have been a rimon, because that rimon somehow symbolizes the whole Torah.
Well, I knew it wasn't a rimon, but she said, "What do you think it could be?" You know,
right? I mean, I knew. Right, but what do you do with the crowd problems? What do you do with the whole with the tamar thing? What do you not with tamar with
the
teina? What do you do with that? You know,
well, because the fig tree, the fig leaves.
Oh right. Oh, that's a good point. Right.
Well, that's what
you decided in the end. Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. So we're on page 18. So those of you who might be listening, just a little plug for my wife's class on Monday nights. Okay. Parag Dalet. Ha'adam yadat chava ishto. Adam, he knew in the biblical sense, chava his wife. Batahar, matelet et Kayin. She gave birth to Kayin. Vatomer kaniti ish et Hashem. Very, very unusual language. Kaniti ish et Hashem. What does that mean? Without looking at the English.
Well, kaniti is to buy.
Kaniti means, miknot in modern Hebrew is to buy. Miknot means to acquire.
Acquire.
A kinyan in halachic terms, very often, you know, for example, you'll come to sell the rabbi your chametz, right? So what does he do? He gives you a pen or usually a handkerchief. Us modern rabbis use pens. The old ones use the handkerchief. Why? That's called a kinyan sudar. A kinyan is an acquisition. And the reason you do the handkerchief is to actualize, to formalize the transaction. That's a kinyan. Kaniti ish et Hashem.
Kaniti is also...
Kaniti means I acquired. Ani kaniti. Ish.
Amen.
Et Hashem.
From Hashem.
From
Hashem.
Et means...
From.
How would you say from?
Me
Hashem. That would have made a lot of sense if it said, Kaniti ish me Hashem. But she doesn't say that. She says, Kaniti ish et Hashem.
To God.
Right? Look at what Rashi says. Et Hashem. Says Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Et Hashem, kmo im Hashem. Like with Hashem. Okay? Shabara o kishabara uti vet ishi levado bara anu. But in this, we are partners with God. So Rashi's sort of saying, does Rashi say it means from God? Not exactly.
With God.
How does Rashi translate it? With God. That's the right track. Correct. It's meaning, I always read into that, when you say, Kaniti ish et Hashem, of God, there's a sense that, of, I would say, a little bit of arrogance, it sounds to me. Meaning what? She almost lets herself be on the status of God. Kaniti ish et Hashem. Of God. I am sort of, God is a partner to me. But it doesn't mean, if I was going to say, you know, we always say together that when a man and a wife come together, when there's a partnership, they create a child. Right? It takes three. But I don't say, I did it. I say, God helped me and God blessed me. I don't say, me and God did it together. So I always get a sense, you know, there's a little bit of lack of place. If you would say, Kaniti Ich Et Hashem. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, just in the language. Well, I would say it should be Nei.
Nei
Hashem.
But here she says with Hashem.
What?
With Hashem.
But she doesn't say with. What I'm saying is Rashi says Et here means of, means with, means from. But sometimes you could translate it a certain way, but the language itself connotes a certain value.
I think she thought that she God made them partners with him, so she had that idea.
Mm-hmm.
That everything she has is Hashem's part of it.
Okay. Look at the English for a second. Okay? Down on the bottom of in the art scroll. I have acquired a name with Hashem as partners with Hashem. My husband and I were created with God alone, by God alone, but through the birth of Cain, we are partners with him. Ramban renders, this newborn man shall be my acquisition for the sake of God. So what does et mean according to the Ramban? Le, for Hashem. Which is a little different, very different. So he takes it in a much more positive way. Positive bet. Vatoshev laledet et achiv et havel. She continues to give birth to her brother Havel. Vayihi Havel ro'eh tzon. V'kayin haya oved adama. Havel was a
shepherd,
and Cain was a
man of the field.
Was an agricultural farmer. Okay. Now there's a big incongruity. We're on page 18. Is this no? 20. There's an incongruity. What's the problem with pasuk bet?
Is it the other way around?
What? Well, Cain is older. Havel is younger, right?
So first of all, they mention Havel first, then Cain.
No, she first gave birth to Cain, right. Then she had Havel.
Right. Here she mentions that Havel became for us.
Havel was a ro'eh tzon.
Right.
Cain was an obed adam.
Right. So what I'm saying is why is she saying the second son first instead of?
She's not saying that. The Torah is saying that.
Yeah. Why?
A reverse role. I mean,
okay.
That's one
thing. I don't know.
But don't you? We associate usually Cain with the one going out and the hunter and the one being the animals and.
Really? No, Cain was an Oved Adamah.
It seems like for women, son is a professional.
What?
More professional.
There's a bigger problem.
What? Why is it turned around?
Oh, you asked that. I don't know. Well, I know why Rashi says. Let's see Rashi. For Eitzom, the fish you need to call Allah Adamah, Piresh lo me'avodata. Havel, because God cursed the land, so Havel said, if God cursed the land, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm gonna raise animals. Okay?
Well, how's he gonna raise animals without the land?
Well, the land, grass grows by itself.
On the land.
Fine, but you don't have to plant the land, you don't have to work the land. God cursed the land. Before, if you wanted to eat, it grew by itself. But now God cursed it, so I don't want anything to do with that. The animals grow by themselves. All I have to do is take care of them. I have to shepherd them. There's a bigger problem with the pasuk. What's the incongruity between Cain and Hevel in the psukim? There's an incongruity. A very large incongruity. One I don't have the answer to. Good question. Why? Good. Why? Okay. Vatosev la'ladet et achiv et Hevel. So another boy, Hevel.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the real question.
And this time it's not in Ish Elohim.
Not Ish Elohim, but so ask the question. You're almost there. You're right there at the question. What's the incongruity between Cain and Hevel in the Psuki? How did Cain get his name? How did he get the name? She called him Cain. And how do I know that she called him Cain?
So.
The Torah says she called him Cain. Very nice. Kaniti Ish et Hashem.
What does Cain mean?
Cain means an acquisition, like a kinyan. I acquired mankind from God. Right?
That's what Eve called
it. Kamiti.
Right, like a body. Correct. That's what Eve called him. By the way, you always find the mothers are often naming the children. Okay? What's the problem? What about Hevel? How did Hevel get his name?
He's just there.
The same way.
I have a lot of leaves.
The same way, no.
It's the second question I was going to ask you. Is his name coincidental?
Nothing's coincidental.
What does Hevel mean?
Hevel, Havor.
Nothingness, foolishness, wantonness. We just read Kohelet, right?
Right, Hevel.
Kohelet? Maybe you noticed this on Yantif. Kohelet is a really long book. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that. Very long book. What? Very down. Very depressing. It really is. Does not, it is, I would not say it's an uplifting book. So, you know, Mazel Tov, you just had a baby boy. Very nice. The bris vi kare shmo bi Yisrael. Hevel.
What is that?
Nothing. Vi kare shmo bi Yisrael.
Nothing.
What are you going to call it in English? Nothing. Oh, no, really, what are you going to call him? Nothing. Nothing. You know, we're going to call him Nothing Goldberg. Right? Hey, Nothing, come over here. Nothing, go clean your room.
Right?
What do I want? I want nothing. You know?
Why would anybody call a baby nothing?
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Doesn't say that she called him that.
He wasn't so happy though. The first time you didn't know what you were expecting with the
girl. Maybe she wanted a girl.
Were they
okay,
twins?
It's misleading.
Were they twins? No.
It's misleading to call him Abel. Abel is a very misleading term because it's not an accurate translation of Hevel. Right? In the biblical sense, Hevel means Hevel. Right? Why did Shlomo? Right. So now here's the question: did Shlomo name his the word? Is the word gain the name from
Hevel? Hevel.
From Hevel. Oh, from Hevel. So what did it mean before that?
Nothing. Nothing.
It meant nothing, right? And then after later on, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Oh, it must mean nothing."
Empty.
No. But I'm saying, you understand what I mean? Meaning, when Shlomo HaMelech was looking for a word, I'll give you an example. Nowadays, in the shidduch scene, as soon as somebody sets you up with somebody, do you know what they do? I call up Dror, I say, Dror, you have a grandson, I've got a great girl for you. Or no, it usually works the other way. I got a great guy for you. You know what they do nowadays? They take his name, okay, his name is, Chaim Yehuda, you know, Freiberg. Okay? So what's the first thing that they do?
Check
your
name.
How?
Call my family.
No.
No,
but it's not the first thing we do nowadays.
Know him.
No.
No.
Anybody want to guess?
They're looking up a name.
What?
Every time she's asking me for a mother,
as a mother.
They check on the internet.
Absolutely.
Let me explain to you a term. They Google you.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Have you ever heard that term? To Google somebody?
Sure.
What is Google? Google is the name of a search engine. It's a search page on the internet. So the first thing I do, I've heard of this happening. The first thing you do, there's a young man from our shul who is involved in a certain business. And then the first thing they did, they were going to set up, very nice, very interested. What did they do? They typed his name in the internet. They found out that he was involved in some kind of publishing company. Oh, we don't want him. They don't know. What? Well, there was a reason, but it was a dumb reason.
Pornography.
No, no. It was a dumb reason. But that's what they do. What I'm trying to explain is they Google you. It's a term. It used to mean to Google. Google is not a word. But the way linguistics work, the way language works, things become a word. To Google somebody.
Google.
You ever heard that?
No.
This is a real word. This is a real word. Right? Right. If I tell you about hot chocolate, you can Google hot chocolate. You can find out all kinds of recipes for hot chocolate on the internet. To Google. So now, so what does the word Hevel mean?
Nothing.
I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So the question is, did Hevel mean nothing when he had his name 5,763 and three quarters years ago? Or did Hevel didn't mean anything, right? And Shlomo HaMelech, seeing Hevel's life, seeing what happens to Hevel, says, I call Hevel. Everything is Hevel.
Well,
that he was the better one of the two.
What happens then? Hold on. So that's what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? It's not so clear what Hebel's name means when Chava names him.
But it's
either that, or maybe Hebel wasn't his real name. You understand what I'm saying? Hebel is a description of who he is. How could you name a child Hebel? You know, if Hebel only means what we think it means, how could you name your child that? What I'm suggesting then is, let's say she named him Hebel. So what does Hebel mean? I don't know.
Maybe Hava.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But we have to look for the parshim that talk about what the word Hebel means and understand what it means and how Chava named him. Because the Torah does not say that she named him that. That's what I'm pointing out to you. So it could very well be that the Torah later is describing him and not naming him. Chava named Cain. But in the Torah, we do not see that she names Hebel. It's just, and afterwards, his name was born afterwards, Batosev Laleta et Achiv et Hebel. It's unusual, it's an open question. Okay? But he had El Raitzon, Bekayin Haya Oved Adama.
But what do the other names mean? Noah, for instance. Comfort.
All I can tell you is, the Torah gives me what Cain's name means. And it does not give me what Hebel's name means. You would think that the fourth person in humanity, his name would have some kind of meaning. Right? He's not named after anybody. So what's he named after? Who named him? Cain, I know. Chava said, Kamiti Yitash Hashem. Right? So what did she say when Hebel was born? What should we call him? Nothing. I'm gornished. This is my son Gornish, and this is my daughter Shlemazel. You know, who do that? So I find it hard to imagine that Hebel would be his name. Why would you call him Hebel? Let's see. So now, who is the better one? Mrs. Roberg said, who's the better one? Hebel. Why? And interestingly, you're going to find a theme about Cain that I believe is true. Hebel says, God cursed the land. So if God cursed the land, I'm not going to work the land. I'll go into something else. I'll be a computer programmer. Right? That's fine. I'll do animals. But I'm not going to work the land. What does Cain say? I'm going to make it work. So now the question is Cain, why does he work the land? Is he working the land because God said, B'zeat apecha toch alechem? You have to sort of do it. What can I do? Or does Cain say, I'm going to work the land. God said the land is cursed. I'll show God. Right? The problem with Cain, as we're going to see, is it's an open question. You can read Cain either one of those ways. And I think that's... Cain is a very interesting symbol for humankind. Hebel is the great sufferer. Cain is the sinner. Right? Every time we sin, it's very, you know, everything a person does can be read in any number of ways. You never had that situation? I can't believe she said that. So why did she say it? Why did she do that? So you can attribute any one of a different number of reasons. Some good and some bad. Cain is the same way. His actions are not black and white. What he does, killing your brother, is black and white. But his motivations are not black and white. They can be interpreted in many different ways. And we're going to see before he sins, and also even after he sins. But Cain is, I think, the conundrum, the example of sin. He's the example of us also, when we sin. Why do you do it? What motivates you to do it? What causes you to do it?
He's a quick tempered
what?
He's a quick-tempered person.
No, he's not.
No,
he's not. We're going to see. Okay. Hard to know. That's true. Pasuk Gimel. Vayim Yikech Yamim. Sometime later, Vayaveh Cain mipri adama mincha l'Hashem. Cain brought from his pri adama an offering to God. Now, don't get me wrong. Can you find anything wrong there?
No. Not the best.
What did Rashi say? Now, why did you say that, Dora? Not the best?
I think I'm going to do that.
Why would you say that?
He just, without thinking, he just took some of his fruit.
Okay, where in the pasuk would it say? Do you see that? That's a very important question. Where do you see in the pasuk to justify that comment?
It just says mipri adama.
Well, just offering to Hashem.
Don't get me wrong. What's he supposed to bring it from?
come up with
God. Right, you know, he's going to bring God's dirt.
He's going to bring God out of me.
He didn't say the best
or the first or anything. There's no, it's nondescript.
Okay, well, you know, what do you expect the Torah to say? You have to, what I'm telling you is, you can't look at Chumash. You have to sort of divorce yourself from the things you've learned before and look at the psukim, you know, in an unbiased way. If I were to tell you, Cain brought an offering from the produce he developed from the ground. Sounds good to me, right? Let's look at Rashi.
When we bring the bikurim, we go, you know, put a sign. This is good. This is good. This I'm going to give
a rest. Let me ask you a question.
Think about it.
Well, oh yeah? Who told Cain to bring an offering to God in the first place? Who told him to do that? Why in the world would you do anything like that? How many people are there in the world today that never once think that they should give something back? With all the reminders we have in society today and all the opportunities to do good and kindness and charity and all that, how many people are there that, yeah, it's mine. I worked for it. I, you know, I toiled with it. I struggled with it. I earned it. Mine. You don't see any of that in time. An offering to God. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, that sounds pretty good.
Hevel gave the best.
Hold on.
Yes.
Rashi mipri adama min hagarua.
Yeah, it doesn't say here min
hagarua. So Mrs. Unger is absolutely correct. Let's look at the next pasuk. Talib, the Hevel hevi gam hu mibchorot shono umichel behen. Hevel brought from the b'chorot shono, the firstborn, umichel behen, and from their fat. So they deduce, Cain brought from, if Hevel brought from the best, Cain brought from the worst. Okay. Where you get that from? Right? Cain brought from his. So Hevel said, good idea, I'm going to bring the best. What's wrong with bringing the regular? Let's not assume the worst. Let's say Cain brought from the regular. He didn't bring the choicest stuff. What's so bad about that?
For someone you give thanks to, there's something
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Give a gift. It's a jewel. Yeah, yes. The best. It's a gift.
Okay.
Could it also be in another way? Well, he gave that. I'm going to show him one better. I'm going to bring something more sumptuous. I'm going to bring something better.
Hevel one-upped him.
Right.
Hevel one-upped him.
Right.
Vayisha Hashem el Hevel v'in el min chasel. And God, Rashi says, and God turned. Okay. God turned to Hevel and his mincha and his offering. Okay. And if you look at Unklus, he says, v'havat ra'ava min kadam Hashem. It was beneficial to God. God liked it. So God liked Hevel's offering. That's okay. Val Kayim, Val Minchaso, Losa. And God didn't like so much Kayim's offering.
Yeah.
And for Everett,
how do we know that?
How do you know? You don't know anything. We don't know. We don't know. It's so vague.
How were we shown that he didn't like one
or
like?
No, God, no. That's what the Torah says. How did it say? I don't know. God sent him a thank you note. I have no idea.
I see.
Well, here it describes
because
what Hevel
says. Has sent them to Abba.
Right.
And lots of time.
The first official. And from the fat of the land. Here it just is.
Yes.
Okay, but you know. I'm not, you know, from the first fruits. You know, maybe Cain didn't realize that the first fruits are better. Cain didn't know, or Cain, you know, it's interesting. Cain came up with the idea of giving an offering to God.
That's to his credit.
Oh, to his credit. And then Hevel comes along and says, oh, yeah, watch this. You know, right? Okay, he opens up the barbecue, sizzling steaks to God. There, oh. And Cain always got his grilled vegetables. You know, what good is that? What? How do you know? He also brought.
Yeah. Okay.
Why does God? Why does God not accept Cain's offering? Why does God not show favor to Cain?
Because it was
I'm going to give you what I think is a, I'm going to give you what I think is a controversial answer.
I think that God is what
I have. I think I'm going to give you a controversial answer, but I think it's an absolutely true answer, and I think it's an important lesson for all of us. Do you know why Cain's his offering was not accepted?
Why?
We don't know. How many people feel like they've gotten to God for something and the davening was not accepted? So if you pray to God with all your heart for something that's the most important thing in the world to you.
We don't know when it's going to be accepted.
Hold on. And God still said no.
Yes, everything
happens.
It happens all the time.
I don't know when it's going to be.
That's, well, sometimes you get what you want and sometimes you don't.
How about if you pray for a fruit?
Sometimes you ask for too much.
They say be careful
with your ask. Well, Cain gave an offering to God. And God did not show favor to Cain. And Cain said, I don't understand. I davened. I prayed. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. To me, it matters less. Did he give the best? Didn't he give the best? He made up the whole thing. He made up davening. He davened to God and made up the whole thing. He made up devotion to God. How can you hold that against him? It wasn't as good. It wasn't as great.
But it was my idea. It was my idea. How come?
To me, I would take all that out, with obviously great respect for Rashi, and say, I don't know. But Cain is the symbol of the person that isn't answered. And then he looks at his friend. He looks at Hevel. He looks at his brother. And he says, how come he got his tefillahs answered, but mine weren't?
Yeah, but it's very wrong what he does.
Hold on.
Okay.
But how many people have now try to understand Cain in that way? We always try to blame Cain. And we say to ourselves, well, if his prayers weren't answered because, he gave the bad stuff, okay, I've got a few vegetables rotting, I'm going to throw in the dumpster here. Well, what do you expect? Nobody does that. But how many people aren't the kind that said, how come I don't have the nachas that person has? I don't daven just as hard. I don't go to shul. So maybe I can't give $100,000 to tzedakah, but I don't give $100,000? And all of a sudden that he's doing well, and how come he's buying Mercedes and marrying off children and having tremendous nachas and all those wonderful things? And how come all I have is tzaras?
Well, we do say good to daven. He
davened
very well.
Yeah. I davened any worse than him?
You don't know.
He did the next world.
I don't know. Neither did Cain.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? It's like a fair idea. Even when one child
is kind of close. We talked about this, and we're going to talk about this when it comes to Yaakov and his sons. Yes. That God liked Hevel better? I don't believe it. No. No. I don't believe that God loves any human being more than another. I don't believe it. God has a special love for Bnei Yisrael. A special love for his closest Bnei Yisrael. But even so, God loves us as Bnei Yisrael. I don't think he loves any human being any less. Why? Here's why. It's a very simple reason. How much God is there?
Infinite.
Infinite, right? So how much God, how much love does God have?
Infinite.
So if he's got infinity times a billion for me and infinity times a thousand for you, how much do you get?
Infinity.
Somebody might get a little extra. You disagree?
No, that is not quite right.
Why?
Because numbers that some people are excelling in their relationship to Hashem.
I didn't say God likes what you do. Your parents that, some children you love, you like what they do and how they behave, and some children you don't agree with how they behave. Do you love them any less?
Well, I also used to tell my children, no. Happy, but I don't like what
they're doing. That's right. So I think that that's not the same thing. Will you ask me, does God love one person more than another? One son more than another? One child more than another? I don't believe that God would. Because we're all equal. All men were created equal before God.
Yeah.
I believe that to be true. But now, if I'm an Eved Hashem and some guy's a sniper that kills people in on the East Coast,
Hashem.
God hopefully likes what I do more than he likes what he does. So what does God do? He's very happy with me, and he cries about that guy. just like any parent would. I think that this, the you know, the attempt to demonize Cain, I think it's self-serving sometimes. Because as long as we demonize Cain, as long as you say, well, his mistake was he gave God the bad stuff, or he was too jealous, or he was too petty, or, you know, as long as we say that, then we know what we say? That's not me.
But he said he shouldn't pull.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. It doesn't say that. But if we understand that Cain is really us, that Cain represents who we are in a very real way, we don't know why. Very often you don't know why. Nobody knows why. But what's the reaction when the other person gets and you don't get? How do you feel?
Bad.
You feel angry. You feel hurt. You feel rejected. You question. You wonder.
Yeah.
So why kill him? Why
what does God say? Yeah. What does God say? Vayiplu panav. His face fell. What does that mean, vayiplu panav? His face fell.
His face. He shouldn't pull his face.
He became depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that a realistic reaction to someone whose prayers are not answered?
Yeah,
very, very much so.
You would like them to think, well, maybe I can do better, but the truth is, you get depressed.
Again, a vague context. Vayomer Hashem el Kain. God says to Kain, Lama charolach? Why are you upset? Why are you angry? V'lama naflu panecha? Why are you upset? Hold on. Halo im teitiv she'esh. V'im lo teitiv v'petach chatas roveitch. Very, very hard to translate. In lo teitiv, here, look how Unklus translates it. I'm going to read Unklus for you. Okay, you have to be able to read a little Aramaic. Unklus is the guy in the, see the little Hebrew letters to the left of the Chumash? Okay. Pasuk Zayin, see the little Hebrew letters? The Unklus is right here in the middle, right on the column. That's Unklus. This is the Targum of Unklus. Unklus was a ger, a convert to Judaism in the times of the rabbis, in the times of the Gemara. He was in the Roman legions, and he decided, you know what? I'm out of here. Judaism is correct. He converted, and he wrote a translation for the Torah. So if you think that you can't do something as a convert, he's in every Chumash published today. Okay? Hello. It says, In Ketiv Ovadach. If you improve your work, in this case it means your behavior. If you improve the way you act, Yishtebek lach, right? It'll become good for you. V'im lo teitiv ovadach, and if you don't improve your behavior, l'yom dina chatat nitir. Yom dina is the day of judgment. Is the day of judgment is waiting for you. Udi atid l'itpara minach im lo tituv. And you're going to get paid for it if you don't improve. V'im tituv yishtebek lach. And if you improve, it will improve for you. It'll be better for you. So Chazal are learning Cain and Hevel very differently than me. They obviously see that Cain was not serving God properly. I mean, in relatively simplistic terms, Cain didn't serve God properly. He brought God the wrong stuff. And then when he brought to God the wrong stuff, he was upset about it. How come you didn't answer me? So God says, you want to know why I'm upset about it? You know why I'm not answering you? Because you're doing me schmutz. That's why. If you get better, I'll improve it. If you don't get better, you're going to be punished. That's Chazal. If you look at Rashi, all Rashi says is, Ketargumo Perusho. Rashi says, I don't have to tell you, just look at Unklus. Targum means Unklus. Okay? There's only one problem with Unklus. What problem is there? Everybody like Unklus? You're happy with Unklus? Mrs. Roberg is very happy with Unklus, right? You're very happy with Unklus, correct?
Well,
there's only one. I only have one problem with Unklus.
How does he know that he didn't bring the best?
Well, that's the that he's quoting the Midrash. It all follows a certain stream. It follows a certain line. The problem I have with Unklus is I'm not entirely sure that that's exactly what the words mean. I'll explain to you. Let's read the Hebrew again. Now, I want to clarify. Chas v'shalom, Unklus is not wrong. Unglus is not wrong, Chas V'Shalom. Unglus is following the position of the Midrash. He's translating according to the accepted Midrashic interpretation. The Midrash wants us to learn, Cain sinned, therefore he was punished.
That's the way I teach that.
Right, and I think you should teach it that way. I'm trying to get somewhere a little bit more sophisticated in order to really relate it to us, which I think is also true. Everybody understand the difference? Right? The Midrash is absolutely correct. But there are Shivim Panim the Torah. There are 70 faces to the Torah. And I think that there could be a deeper, more sophisticated, subtle meaning for us if we look for it. Okay? All before he did anything.
And Hashem is telling him what he can do to improve. Right?
No, like
No, before he's
well,
after
he's so okay, but
he didn't have like another chance. He's saying, if you improve,
then
things will change. I'll accept
you, whatever. Is that what God said, though? That's the question I have for you. Is that what God said? Meaning, we have this evidence. Nowhere in the Chumash does it say that Cain sinned when he gave God an offering. Where do you have any evidence that Cain sinned at all? Doesn't say. Here along comes Unclus and says, though, if you improve, then things will get better for you. What did he do wrong? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In Ketiv.
Does that mean that
you
just take what you
need? Ah, Mrs. Roberg is going exactly my shot. Very good. In Ketiv. What does Ketiv mean? What is the root of Ketiv?
Tov.
What does that mean, in Ketiv?
If you improve. If you make better.
If you make better. Se'et. What does Se'et mean?
Carry.
Good.
What's
Se'et?
Se'et. What is it?
Se'et means to carry or to bear. If you improve, then you can bear the burden. V'im lo Ketiv. And if you do not improve, lepetach chatat rovech, you are standing at the doorstep of
sin.
Meaning, what does God say to Cain? Has Cain sinned yet?
No.
But if you let your temper get the better of you,
if you correct. Here we are. Cain has prayed to God. At least the way I'm interpreting it. Cain has been davening to God. God, I offered you this thing and I asked for, I asked for children. Something important. And here Hevel brought you his thing and you turned to him and you blessed him with a beautiful family. But I don't have any children. And it's vayipo panah. You can understand. He's devastated. He's walking around depressed. And you understand it.
Yeah.
You understand that he wants the nachas that his brother has. He looks around. What? I don't know. I'm giving an example. So God comes to him and says, your job in the world isn't to figure out why. Very fundamental issue. Your job in the world isn't to understand how come he has and I don't have. How come his prayers were answered and my prayers were not answered. What is your job? Intative.
Improve
yourself. To make yourself better. Hold on, let me finish my chat, okay? I think Hashem does love everybody. Okay. I understand. Aviva, I think I understand. I don't understand fully, but I think I understand what you're saying. But I believe that Hashem does love. And I think that's the message that God is telling Cain. Sometimes people feel like, you walk around, if you feel that God doesn't love you, so that's terrible. I was listening to Dr. Laura.
Oh.
Hold on. But don't.
You stopped listening.
You stopped?
Yes.
I listened to her, it was 2 months ago, I remember in the summertime, and I remember hearing this, because it really stuck out in my mind. And I remember somebody wrote her a letter and asked her the question, do you feel God's love? Do you feel that God loves you? That's a very, very important question. I think sometimes we firm Jews never ask that question. Very firm guy. We don't talk God. We don't talk about God. I want to know how many mitzvahs and how long my prayers have to be and how many tzitzis I have to have. What about God? Does God love you? The non-Jews are very good at talking about God. Unfortunately, we in the firm community, we've marginalized, is it chometz? Is it 60 times? Isn't it 60 times? We became so detail-oriented that in the details we've forgotten to talk about God. You know, your relationship with God. All those important things. You feel God's love. And Dr. Laura said, this is before the whole thing came out. She said, I don't.
She said she doesn't feel God.
No. She said she doesn't feel God's love. And I remember, I can tell you, I remember where I was driving. I was driving on Coolidge and Lincoln. 10.5 miles. And I remember being there, because, you know, when you hear something that really sticks out in your mind. And I thought to myself, I was sure she would say the opposite too. And I thought to myself, that's sad. That's really bad.
Well,
and so then when I heard later on that she dropped the Yiddishkeit.
Yeah, she's gone back now.
And she dropped the Yiddishkeit. She's coming back to Yiddishkeit?
No.
So then when I heard that she dropped the Yiddishkeit, it didn't surprise me as much. And sometimes it's very hard to feel that love of God because the circumstances are such. You know, so I think that's an important message that God is telling Cain and all of us, Aviva.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very important, sometimes hard message. Imtativ, if you work on yourself, if you improve yourself. But I don't mean yourself meaning how you behave. I think more imtativ if you improve your perspective on life. If you understand that God does love you. You have a good relationship with God.
You have good
relationship. Then you can bear, you know, the fact that things are really hard.
You have to.
That life throws you curveballs. You know, I visited somebody who you all know in the hospital. He's been sick for a long, long time, much longer than I've been alive. And I come in, how you doing? And he says to me, "Calls mansa neshama bikirbi moda ani lefanecha."
Wonderful.
Would I have that life perspective? I don't know. God willing, I shouldn't be tested like that. But then in teitiv, then she'es, then you can bear all that difficulty. But im lav, leave no teitiv. But if not, then the petach chatas roveis. You're standing at the edge of sin. Because if you let your despondency and your despair and your anger and your jealousy and your hurt internalize, there's no such thing as internal hurt that doesn't that doesn't manifest itself as external behavior. I think that happens a lot.
It happens all the time. The murderers.
No, I don't even mean the murderers. Forget the murderers. Forget the murderers. Let's not go so radical. Cain and Hevel is a very radical example. Right? People that act out, that speak out against other people, that, you know, they have difficulty with their Yiddishkeit very often, very, very often. It doesn't stem from, you know, religious issues. Well, I've, you know, done philosophical studies and I'm reading Kant and I've decided that I don't believe in God. Where does it stem from? It stems from people have a lot of pain.
And I think your point with Dr. Laura is very true. That's what she said. When she was having problems, nobody was reaching out to her. The Christian community reached out to her and touched her.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of her.
The only problem is that the Jewish community isn't Yiddishkeit.
Right, absolutely.
You know,
right.
Right. It's not Yiddishkeit.
She was connected with before.
Rabbi, you always need people around you. The Baal Tshuva, they always say.
Yeah, it's a community. Yeah. But the question is, if somebody became a Baal Tshuva, they have to immerse themselves in the community. Then we all know people. I know people in our community. The reason why they find this so enriching is because they come here and they immerse themselves.
But it's also because
it's reciprocated. I don't know what life is like in Los Angeles. I don't know where she lives. You know what I'm saying?
I think she must be.
Of course.
But she may have had some kind of deep emotional inner pain.
Right.
Exactly what you were saying.
Correct.
That caused something that.
Yeah, but you don't hear about that on the radio.
Of course not. But yeah. Just listening to what you're saying.
No, but that's why I don't think she is. I think that when you take away Kanye's, you know, when you take away the simplistic, oh, he was dead, and that's why he was punished, and that's why he killed his brother, and you make it a little more subtle, it really speaks to all of us. Sure. Well, God, that's exactly what God says. You know, I mean, this whole medical, the whole chemical imbalance versus psychological imbalance, if a person harbors enough resentment, of course it creates chemical imbalances. Of course. You know, the brain is serotonin, melatonin, it's all there. You know, some people have mental illness, and illness controls the psychology, but most people have a combination of both. And if you allow the psychology to overwhelm you, then you can become depressed. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't think I would have helped Kayan. So what happens? What's it say? Vayomer Kayan el Hevel Achiv. Kayan said to his brother Hevel, Vayehi biotam basandeh, and it was when they were in the field, Vayakam Kayan el Hevel Achiv Vayehargehim. Ah, you hear her question?
Yeah.
Her question is, what did he say? Vayomer Kayin El Hevel Achiv. First of all, the Arskel translation isn't totally accurate. See, it says eight. Cain spoke with his brother Abel. Right? How would you say Cain spoke with his brother Abel? Vayomer Kayin Im Hevel Achiv. Correct, and they spoke.
The question
is, she addressed Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Kayin El Hevel Achiv. And Kayin said to his brother Hevel. What did he say? We don't know what he said. Isn't it interesting, by the way? Again, ambiguous. The whole story is unbelievably ambiguous.
Doesn't tell you any details.
What?
Doesn't tell any details.
What did he say?
Hanging.
What did Hevel say back to him?
Says he killed his brother. What did
Hevel say back to him?
He rose up against his brother and killed him.
Now I'm going to interpret this in a way that I'm not sure is true, but I'll expand on it in just a moment. I don't even know if it's true. I'm just throwing something out there. How many times do people in pain cry out to us, and we don't answer?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't know an answer.
Right.
Or we don't want to get involved.
Or we don't want to get involved.
Or we ignore it.
Or we ignore it.
Or we are not even aware of it.
Or we hear them and we don't hear them.
Okay.
Correct. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv. What did he say? Nobody was listening.
Nobody
was listening. Who was there to listen? Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achiv. Who did he call out to? No. He called out to his brother Hevel.
His brother nothing.
His brother Hevel. Well, we're going to talk about why he's called Hevel.
Interesting.
Right? He called out to his brother. Right? And what did Hevel say? What did Hevel answer him?
Maybe he didn't have an answer either.
Hevel didn't have anything to say.
So Cain killed him.
He had killed him already.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And then, Vayehi biotam basadeh, when they were in the field, Vayakam Cain el Hevel Achiv Vayehargehim.
Cain killed him.
Cain killed him.
Why didn't
Hashem kill him?
And then I can understand Hevel or not. How he said
that. What's that?
Maybe he said, I hate you, Hashem didn't accept my offering.
No,
I don't think so.
I don't know. How can you say no? You have no idea what he said.
Well, I'm saying
why didn't he say it?
We don't know what he said. He said something.
But obviously, he said something.
He said the wrong thing.
He said the wrong thing?
He said the wrong thing as far as Cain was at that time.
Hevel said the wrong thing. No, not true. How do I know?
To a point.
I get the impression, like you said before, that he was jealous.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Jealous.
It says Vayehi biyotam basadeh. What does Vayehi mean? Vayakam Kayin al Hevel Achiv Vayehargehu. Yeah. Vayehi means behold.
There they are.
So now I ask you, did Cain plot the murder, or did it just come out?
I think it was just a passion that came out.
Did I say that Hevel answered him something that just broke the star into a fire?
Then why would he wait till they were in the field?
Fun?
Why would he wait till they were in the field?
Nobody could see him.
Who else is there? There's four people in the whole world.
There's nobody else.
If he didn't want to hurt his parents, he wouldn't have murdered one of his sons.
There's no woman, too, there, no?
I don't know. Not in our story.
Maybe you can imagine him in the place that he was most comfortable in. Yeah.
That's always the question. How come... I'm sorry, what did you mean?
In other words, you said he took him away.
And decided
that. He said he loved...
Like, obviously, all of this stuff is Jewish. Obviously, it's all we're trying to figure out. It's all Jewish. But one gets a sense that it's a sudden kind of reaction.
Absolutely.
You get that sense by he tells me that it's sudden.
Mm-hmm.
when they're in the field, all of a sudden, he just lashes out and he kills him.
I mean, where would he get the example? Where would he even think it never happened? Murder never existed.
Well, he knows death.
He probably put
how does he know death?
He knows death.
How does he know death?
How does he know from death?
How does he know death? There's an easy
animals?
One. The animals. Animals die.
It never happened.
Animals die.
Animals lived and died.
Right? They killed animals. So that he knows.
A person that you don't know whether you ever met a person who gets the bogus, no matter what you say, the best thing is either you are very, very still or you walk away.
I disagree.
Because whatever you say.
But you don't know that. No. I don't get the sense, Mrs. Robert, I don't get the sense that Kain is a person who is just easy to fly off the handle. I get the sense that Kain was a person who carried around a great deal of pain. And that's not a person that, I don't think he's reacting to something that Hevel says.
He was jealous of Hevel.
Because look at what God says. What do I feel? It says, Vayiplu Panav. His whole demeanor fell. Because God didn't answer him. God didn't accept him. He didn't feel God's love.
Well,
he had definite
proof.
What? He knew it, right? He had definite proof. We don't know how he had proof.
But God tells him if you improve,
I think he was jealous.
Right. You will be able to bear it. No, but not, God does not say, I don't think God says, if you improve, you'll get what you want. God says, if you improve, she'ate. You can handle it. And if not, it's going to be bad. And he cries out to his brother, and nothing happens, and then he lashes out. God is right. God understands the human condition is such that if you walk around with anger and depression and pain, and you allow that to fester, it has to come out. But I don't necessarily see it as anything that Hevel does. Hevel is sort of a victim in this whole thing. Hevel is just, he happens to be there. Hevel is like those people on, Hevel is like those people in you know, Maryland and Virginia. You know, this guy needs to lash out. He needs to make a statement. It's a terrible thing. So now why is Hevel called Hevel?
He didn't live long enough to have another name.
Why is he called Hevel? No, he had a long life. He was an adult. I don't know. He lived long enough to graze sheep. Why is Hevel called Hevel? Because Hevel is a life we cannot understand. Hevel is a life we cannot understand. There are Hevels all the time. All the time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What did Hevel do wrong? Where's the justice? He grew up.
He didn't do anything
this way. He's dedicated to God. He gave from Chel Behan, the Bechorot, from the best. And what happens? One day some guy finds a sniper rifle and cuts him down in the gas station. That's Hevel. And you wonder why Shlomo HaMelech said, Hevel, Hevelim, HaKol Hevel. All of life is like that, Hevel. Poor guy, what happened to him? That's not fair. What? That's to Hevel.
Oh, I know. I wanted to.
Well, Shlomo felt like Hevel. I mean, here's the irony, though. Shlomo HaMelech, he thinks everything is Hevel. So who did he turn himself? So who does he turn himself into?
A poor man.
Cain. Why? Because he walks around with pain. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. Life doesn't make any sense. When you read the book of Kohelet, do you think that Shlomo HaMelech feels God's love?
No.
He had everything.
That's too
sad.
So either you walk around in pain. So here, these are the two men in the world. Either you walk around in pain and hurt that God doesn't answer you, or if God does answer you, you get picked off by a sniper. Hooray!
Okay.
What? What a beginning. Except, I guess I have to stop here. What's the difference? What is the big difference? You're right. Kain and Hevel are really bad. Because you try to worship God, you get killed by your brother. You know what? You don't get what God gives you, you become depressed, it overtakes you. So, God tells Kain a very important rule. In ketiv se'et. How do you take teeth? How? How?
Learn to bear.
How? How do you understand that Hevel is not Hevel? How do you understand? So I'll read to you what Shlomo HaMelech said. The very, very end. Yeah. One second, I gotta finish. I don't want to miss this point. You have to understand. 1,287. I don't remember what I said exactly. How do you? Meaning, if this is Cain and this is Hevel, what is it they're telling us this for? Why did God continue? How do you do what God says in Tetiv Se'et? How do you feel God's love in Dr. Lewis' terms? Someone else says it. After the whole Hakol Havel, life is terrible. He had Hevel's life and he thought he was Cain. You want to know? Sof Devar Kol Nishma Et Elohim Yira Ve'et Mitzvotav Shemor Ki Zeh Kol Hadam. You want to be a human being? Do you want to emerge from either the pain of the Cain or the futility of the Hevel? You got to understand, there's a reason why this is the second story in the Torah. Cain and Hevel tell a very sad story. Cain and Hevel are the human condition, unless in Tetiv. Because if you use the Torah to raise yourself and elevate yourself, then Hevel is not futile, and Cain can emerge from his pain and find the love of God. That's that Okim Yira and the fear of God.
I would not want to go away.
Yes.
Without saying, one time Hevel, he attached a great meaning to his name, Hevel.
Yeah.
One time Hevel is mentioned, he does something good. So there is a reward for his being good. That it happens to him that he is killed is not because he's Hevel, because the other guy.
That's only if you believe in the Torah. That's only if you believe in a higher justice. That's only if you believe that there's a reward and punishment later on.
Yes.
So that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. If you look at it objectively, his life is Hevel. Here he worships God, everything is good, and all of a sudden he gets picked up. That's not fair. No, if what? No, but a person objectively looks at that and says, where's the justice? Where's the righteousness? Where's God's love? Where's the fairness? The answer is, read the rest of the book. Because if you don't read the rest of the book, before you know it, you're going to be Cain. And that's Cain and Hevel, 5,764.